And I was 12 years old, and it's midnight when they start the movie, you know? So at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're having their first intermission. I wake up, I was drooling on a stranger next to me. I wake up as a little boy, like, sorry, I was drooling on you. And I was like, I gotta go. I told my uncle, I was like, we have to get out. I can't do this. But he's like, oh, tough it out. And I was like, well, then sit me between two people I know. So at least I'm drooling on people I know.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it is episode 130 and we are back. And man, You never look so happy as to be holding that lobster, man. I mean, I never saw a smile so big. How you been?
I've been great, thank you. Yeah, no, it was quite the journey to drive from LA to Maine. But then we're in Maine and hanging out with our friends. It was super relaxed, laid back. But we're in central Maine. So it's like Land of Lakes over there. It's like Alaska East Coast style, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, where's the lobsters? And they're like, you know, not our friends, but we didn't see anybody because they're kind of self-quarantining, you know, just big, one of the big lakes in the center.
And they're like, this lake is freshwater.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I cannot leave, you know, Maine and not have a big ass lobster.
Right.
So we stopped and we got a big lobster on the way.
That was amazing.
That was awesome.
Well, we could get more into that. Let's do some beer really quick and then we'll get rocking and rolling on what we've both been up to and, you know, a little more of your travels. I mean, man, LA to Maine and DC
and everywhere in between.
Man, you must have put on like 10,000 miles.
Easy. Yeah, I think it was easy 8. Yeah.
Ugh. All right, what beer do you have? How about you go?
All right, so I have 2 Torrance specials, and I don't know which one I'm going to do. So I'm going to ask you.
Well, depending on how long the episode goes, you might do both.
Oh, God, I hope not. They're humongous. They're 2 Crowlers.
Oh, okay.
So I have Aztec Currents. So they're both from Smog City, which is in Torrance.
Sure.
We drove a friend to the airport. He was flying to Rome to go back to school. So the school opened up. He's like, I gotta go back to school, you know. So
he's American down to, or he's Italian?
Yeah, he's American.
Oh, okay.
But they have a big the big school in Rome for him. So we drove him to his house in Torrance, and he's like, oh, there's tons of beer places. I was like, I know. And I was trying to find Monkish, but Monkish was still closed.
Right.
But Smog City was open and they had these 2 Crowler specials. So 2 Crowlers for like $25 or something like that. So I was like, oh, that's a deal. One of them's Aztec Currency, which is like a sour, like a cranberry wine or wine barrel. And then there's a dry hop Saison.
Do the dry hop Saison. I'm curious because a Saison is like a Belgian-y farmhouse thing. But then dry hop, that's what I want to hear about.
Dry hop, right? Okay, let's do it.
That's what I want to hear about. Man, it's like a can for like a giant or something. Oh, and you have a good glass for it too.
Yeah.
Well, while you're pouring that, I have a Stone. Fear
Which Stone?
Movie Lions Double IPA.
Yeah.
It's a 8.5. Oh, you've had this.
Yeah, it's actually FML.
FML,
right?
Yeah.
But you know what FML stands for?
No.
Fuck my life.
Is that what that means?
But no, they put that's why they put Fear Movie Lions on it, so you didn't have to.
I didn't,
you know, curse.
Yeah, I guess. So yeah, I might.
You can beat me or not beat me.
I don't know. We'll be explicit for our return. So how's it? Does it smell hoppy?
So it smells like a Saison.
Okay.
It does not smell hoppy, like you said, a farmhouse Belgian kind of thing.
Yeah. And typically when you dry hop, that puts it more on the aroma. So I'm kind of – that's why I'm interested.
Yeah, no, it's hidden.
Huh.
It's hidden from the aroma. The farmhouse, you know, the Saison really, really hides it. But it's nice, full-bodied, very crisp Saison.
Nice.
How is yours?
Oh, this thing is awesome. It's a, well, as you would know now, it's a East Coast IPA or New England IPA.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's fitting for your return. And yeah, I mean, it's like a little bit fruity on the palate, but it finishes with like a smooth kind of mild bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, no, this is really good. I mean, it's kind of almost like it, like I'm not into the fruitier, juicier citruses.
Right.
But it's like a mild hint of that, but with like a lot more malt on the front okay. end. And then it finishes like mildly bitter on the back end. So man, this is really good. It's wow, it's extremely good.
Awesome.
So then you put on about 10,000, or I'm sorry, about 8,000 miles. You went to DC, your hometown, the mother town.
So to speak.
Saw friends in Maine, went back to DC.
Mm-hmm.
You were doing some like personal business type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the way there, you met friends. And on the way back, you did some Grand Canyon and other stops.
Right, right. So we decided when we were going to drive across country.
I follow you on Instagram.
We said we're going to... Thank you. We're going to be COVID compliant. And right. we wanted to, you know, we're meeting up with friends in New York and go to Maine. But to be COVID compliant, we were like, do we get hotel rooms? What do we do driving cross country? Like, you know, the hotel room, sure, you could like spray it down with Lysol and, you know, stay awake. It's the, you know, sleep on plastic bags or something like that. But we just decided to just stay with friends and
everyone's crunching all night, you know?
Yeah. We decided to stay with friends who we knew were staying safe and were tested routinely and all that stuff. So, like I said, it was quite the trek across. And then on the way back, we did the same thing. Since the kids were already in school, we stayed extended in Kansas City okay. for the week since we have a great friend there.
Oh, so you drove on weekends then when they weren't in class?
Exactly. We drove the two weekends. We drove the weekend before Labor Day and the Labor Day weekend for the Grand Canyon.
Got it.
And then during the Grand Canyon, we went camping. And man, the dark skies communities in New Mexico and Arizona for camping are amazing. And we had got this great app called Hip Camp, and we had some of the best amenities in New Mexico. They had like hot showers at your campsite and open sky like showers, so like you could shower under the moon if you wanted, you know.
Now, was this tent camping?
Yeah, tent camping.
So you brought tents with you and stuff.
We brought tents
because
we thought we might camp on the way over.
Yeah.
So we had one bag that was just dedicated to tents and sleeping bags and all that stuff.
Why do I not picture Audrey and Anne camping?
So Anne is willing to rough it.
Okay.
Audrey's really the one who was very apprehensive about tent camping.
She's like, Dad, what do I do with my hair?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So when I found this place with hot showers in the middle of New Mexico, it's a high desert star dance star. Yeah. Star dance, high desert camp.
Sure. You say it.
It was amazing. And it was like the cleanest bathrooms. It had two kitchens.
Was it crowded?
You know, that you could use? Not crowded at all. Okay. There was one other couple there that came there, late on the night that we came in midday, and then they came later in that night, and then we just saw them once. But we basically slept on like a bluff right overlooking this huge gorge. It was amazing.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
The Rio Grande Gorge or whatever.
Yeah. And then, well, not the Rio Grande, but there's gorges all over.
Sure. And they're also gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
That's it. Well, it's funny though, because I rode to Halama Beach. Oh, this is probably like first weekend or something in August.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people were stacked jowls to cheeks up in there. I mean, it was so crowded.
Really?
I mean, the camping was full. Everything was packed. And I'm thinking to myself, people are walking around, no masks and stuff. I'm like, super spreaders camping at, you know, it's unbelievable. So I filled my water and I hightailed.
I'm sorry. That's kind of what we thought of when we were at the Grand Canyon. We were like, oh, right. Get out of here. We got to get out of here.
Oh, it was crowded at the Grand Canyon?
It was crowded. You know, it was Labor Day weekend. So it was crowded when we went there in the evening. We were trying to catch sunset, but we were kind of a little late for sunset. It was right about that time. So I'm like, all right, if we don't get sunset, we'll get sunrise, and hopefully there'll be fewer people out here, and the knuckleheads not wearing masks, you know?
Right, right. Oh, man, it's unbelievable. But overall, though, I mean, good trip. You were gone, what, about 5 weeks or something?
6 weeks, yeah. It was just over 6 weeks, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, and you were able to work remotely and everything.
And I only vacationed for 2 of those weeks. So right. It was basically 2 weeks on the front end I was working, and then 2 weeks on the back end I was working, and the kids were going to school.
Man, digital nomads. So I guess in the modern era of Zoom and everything, well, we have some teachers and stuff. It's kind of funny. We do like, you know, these Zoom meetings and so on. Like we have to have like IEP meetings and such. And there's people like camping at Yosemite and stuff. And it's like, really, you're in Yosemite and you're like working? Like, I guess you can. You're not, there's no reason to be in a classroom at this point.
It's the modern day flex, right? It's like, how outlandish can I be with my real Zoom background?
Right. Well, I like this. I like how some people, they probably put up a picture of their own room, but just when it's clean, right? Right. Yeah, and it's just like, and sometimes you look and you're like, wait a minute, is that your room or is that like your virtual room? Because I don't know. It's pretty funny to watch like what some people put up for their virtual backgrounds.
We have one engineer who puts up like a palace. It's like Versailles or something behind him.
Oh, nice. I should do something like that because I put up various rocket launches and I change them around, I had the Blood Moon one time and, you know, so I'm always trying to be like I'm out in like, I don't know, Vandenberg Air Force Base rocket launch season.
Oh, you should send me some of your Cuba pictures. I bet that would be awesome to put on the background.
Yeah, just like some rundown, crumbling buildings, you know? Yeah, I'll do
some
that.
Some 1950s colorful, you know, American cars, you know?
No, that'll be cool. Just, yeah, like, or I'll take a photo. I'll have the photo of like the Eiffel Tower or something. And
yeah, right.
Various trips. You know, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to go into the archive and I'll just pick a different one every meeting. But yeah, so good. I'm glad you had a lot of fun and all that stuff. And I know the distance learning is tough. I mean, my kids are doing it. I'm doing it at work. Well, not learning, but I'm probably learning every day, you know, and I'm forgetting more than I'm learning, which is unfortunate. But it's so hard. But then I finished the Leadville 100,000 foot climbing.
Oh, the
challenge.
Climb. Yeah.
Yeah. That ended on, what was that? That was August 15th, I think. Mm-hmm. And it ended on the day that the race was supposed to take place.
Right.
So I went out for, I think I got on the road about, it was like 6:30 in the morning or 7 in the morning, something like that. And Clarissa and the boys were going to be supporting me like with the car, you know?
Right.
So they were going to meet me at different spots and give me water, food and everything. And then we were going to have a big picnic at some point. And, and I told Clarissa, I said, I'm going to get out so far. I have enough water and food with me until like this one point. And when I hit that point, I'm going to text you because, you know, the way she goes on the freeway or whatever, she could be there in 20 minutes.
Right, right.
So I said, I'll text you and then I'll let you know I'm on Figaro Mountain Road and then we'll start like doing the car support at that point, you know? So this way they didn't have to leave and just follow me.
And wait, yeah.
And wait and stuff, yeah. So then when she saw me, we changed out things and I got caught in this torrential lightning storm downpour.
No way.
And, it was very Leadville-esque. And, you know, I mean, it was everything that Leadville would offer, cold rain and everything, but except at 12,000 feet, I was like at sea level or 500 feet, whatever. But the lightning storm was just like insane. And I was really worried about it because it was striking all around me and I'm riding a steel road bike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I thought, okay, well, I'm riding away from the storm in the direction I needed to go. And it was clear skies where I was heading. But what I didn't realize was Highway 246 that I was on turned directly into the storm.
Mm-hmm.
It was raining so hard that the people driving pulled over because they couldn't see. So I was in the motoring lane. I had little blinky flashlights and stuff, too, in case somebody was, you know. But I was in the motoring lane. I mean, pedal to the metal. I'm hammering because I want to get out of this lightning storm. I mean, the rain, right. I don't care about the rain. I'll ride in the rain, but I want to get out of this lightning storm. So I'm just,
you're riding a lightning rod, basically.
Oh, yeah. And I kept looking, I'm like, okay, those poles are higher than me. Like I'm looking like, where's the highest things, you know?
So your tires don't insulate you enough.
I don't want to test it. Yeah. I have like little dinky little road bike tires. Now, so I get to this park that I know in Buellton and Riverview Park. Yeah, it's Riverview Park. And I found a refuge in the bathrooms there.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, lightning is just hitting all around. I mean, the thunder's off the hook, you know, and I'm hiding out, like drying my gloves under the hand warmer or the hand dryer and all this stuff. And finally it passes. I get back on the road. I'm soaking wet, but I get on the road. And by the time I get to that one point, I texted Clarissa, bring clothes, bring socks, bring all this stuff so I can change, you know.
I'm chafing like a champ.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, it was off the hook. But so then the climb is just brutal. You know, it's one of the hardest climbs I've ever done anywhere. So steep.
Oh, wow.
Long. It's like 10-mile long climb, you know, and 17% grades. I mean, it's just awful. And we get to the top and it's lightning and raining up there. So we just want to get down as fast as possible. And I forget which it is, the leeward or the wayward side, but there's like the rainy side and there's like the dry side.
Right.
Sure enough, you get on the dry side, temperature goes up 20 degrees. It's bone dry. So we have a nice little picnic. And that afternoon, I look at my Garmin head unit and it's reading 114 degrees.
What?
The ride out was in the 60s and driving rain. The ride back was like, it was 114 degrees.
Wow.
It was brutal. So Clarissa gets lost and we lose each other for a while. And I'm running out of water. And the water I do have is like 100 degree tepid, nasty water. So finally, I'm out of water. I'm in the middle of kind of nowhere. And I'm talking on the phone. I'm like, no, I'm here. You're way over there. You got to come. You know, I tell her where I'm at. So by the time she gets there, I'm like, I'm like at mile, I don't even know what it was, 93 or something, you know? And I wanted to do over, I think it was going to be 110. But I'm like, screw it. Let's go home. We're going to order pizza. And there's lots of beer in the fridge. We get home. Power's out. It's one of those like rolling blackouts that PG&E's doing. And I'm like, what the heck? So I just grab a couple beers really quick, throw them in the cooler, you know, because I didn't want to keep opening the fridge.
Yeah.
But yeah, then the power came, I don't even know when, 4 hours later. And fortunately, the pizza place was able to make the pizza and deliver the pizza. But yeah, so that was that. And I know that kind of like the whole summer kind of built up to that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like I said, everybody's back in school. But the big thing is I bought and put together a Synology NAS. You familiar with it?
What's that?
A network attached storage?
No.
Yeah. So it's about 12 terabytes.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting on right around 3 terabytes of data.
It's like a home server?
Exactly.
Oh, sweet. So, let me tie into that thing. Let me get some space.
Yeah.
Sell me a terabyte so I can log in there.
Yeah, I could log in from anywhere.
That's awesome.
I set it up as a Plex media server so I can get my music, movies, and stuff from anywhere. I still have Google accounts and stuff and Dropbox accounts, but I ditched all of my cloud storage and I'm using that as my cloud storage.
Uh-huh.
And then my university account that shall not be named because I don't want them to cut me off, but I have unlimited storage. So I'm backing up the three terabyte server to the university. although I had to put it on pause because Comcast only gives you a terabyte a month. So I'm like,
what?
Yeah.
Is that serious? Really?
Yeah. And then they cut you. And then they charge you per gigabyte or something. So So it's a redundant photo backup from my computer to that. It's iPhone photo backup. So my iPhone syncs to that. And then I use Carbon Copy Cloner to sync to my computer, and then it like loops it back around to back up and everything. So I have this whole cloud storage system, all my own media, you know, and stuff. And the thing for it was I was running out of space, And I'm like, what do? Do I just buy more hard drives and and all this? And then it's like I had stuff on one computer, but then it wouldn't fit on another computer, and I'm doing photo on it. Now it doesn't matter. I got everything on all computers, right. You know? And
it's everywhere.
Yeah, it was about $1,500. It's 4 6 terabyte hard drives. And then they're in RAID 6, so they write...
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you have them, striped and cloned and copying, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
So essentially, I could suffer up to 2 drive failures and not lose my data.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so... no, but it's awesome, though, man. And then, I'm at work, I just hit Plex, and I got music going and stuff. And
that's awesome.
That I really didn't have before, because, everything was at home. And, I was never really one to subscribe to, all these music services and stuff. But, it's really cool. It took quite a bit of a learning curve. It's not for the faint of heart. There's a lot you got to do with, firewall stuff. And you have to set up your own personal VPN on both computer and NAS, so you could kind of tunnel into it,
Does the VPN play well with your school VPN?
Yeah, they don't, I have another VPN too, a commercial one.
Yeah.
But my own personal VPN is just so I can get into my, from my outside the house computer when I'm off my personal network into my NAS. But so yeah, it works fine.
That's cool.
And then I use NordVPN. I've had that for kind of a while. And it's $3 a month or something. And, but it's funny though, it's at work they block, Instagram and all this stuff. And, but if I hit the VPN, it's I can get into anything, it's just, you're hidden,
Right.
The thing I like about it best is all my stuff's in one place, redundant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a backup though. The redundancy is not really a backup because if I make a change, and I delete something by accident, I redundantly deleted it by accident. So you still need to have other backups and stuff. So, and that's another thing I do too. I do as well is I partitioned out some of it for a Time Machine backup. So I had all my data and everything, but also part of that is a partition for Time Machine, and I can allocate how much space I want for it and everything. And,
oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And then I also have my old way of doing Time Machine too, just because I feel it's important to have extra backups. And then, like I said, the whole NAS, all 3-ish terabytes of it is backing up to the university unlimited Google Drive. So I'm still kind of on Google Drive. Well, not kind of. I'm still on Google Drive that way.
Right.
But it's all encrypted, so even Google can't see anything. So it uploads encrypted and everything. And then if let's say the whole system crashes and everything gets thrashed, I can download it back and repopulate everything.
Right.
So
awesome.
But I'd say that's the big thing. Finishing the Leadville thing, and I finished, I think I said it was 116,027 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Got the new belt buckle. I should have, it's out in the garage. It's a little guy. It's not what I was expecting. But yeah, that was pretty much what we missed. And then just
awesome.
The day-to-day doldrums, I guess, of COVID-19.
Yeah. Right. The only thing that I did that I want to mention before we get into the show is I was a guest star. I guested on another podcast.
Oh yeah, you mentioned something a few weeks ago. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so last week I was on a friend's podcast. His name is L.A. Abbott, and he has a podcast called Sound Bites. So it's Sound Bites on the Believe Network, BLEAV. So it's Believe in Sound Bites is the name, I guess the full name of it. And we talked about fandom, so of being a fan of the Washington football team and all the places to eat. And it's so funny because he and I met here in LA, and I'm from Washington, D.C., and he went to Howard. So he was, he was kind of in his formative years in Washington, D.C., and he had worked at all the places that I like to go to eat, So it was
that's funny.
It was so funny. I was like, you might have been waiting on me at the time that I was, So it was hilarious. And then, with my friends in Kansas City, my friend married a guy from Baltimore, but he has family also in Maryland. So he also went to restaurants that, you know, these small hole-in-the-wall restaurants that are only for locals kind of in Kensington and stuff. And it was amazing to think, like, he was probably 10 years old when I was like an older teen and I was hanging out with my friends in Continental and he was there with his family, like getting burger hoagies, burger subs, cheeseburger subs. Have you heard of cheeseburger subs? Is that a
cheeseburger subs? I never have.
So it's an East Coast thing and I guess it didn't make its way to Chicago.
I guess not.
But cheeseburger subs are amazing and we should all go try to go find some. But yeah, so that was a great podcast.
That sounds amazing.
It's basically just two cheeseburgers, you know, with lots, like different kinds of lettuce and tomatoes.
Like I said, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so that's that. We've had quite some time off. And then I haven't had a lot of beer recently because I was like saving all the beer for this. And I've been drinking so much. We drank all wine and whiskey when we were in, when we were in Maine. We were in Maine and New York. And then when we got to back to Maryland and DC, I was like, we just need some time to dry out. You know? That's so funny. And then we got back to LA and it's like, oh, we're gonna be dry in LA too. We're gonna stay dry the rest of the year. And I was like, no, we're not. Why? What's so crazy to do? So I haven't had a beer in a long time.
That's so funny. So what kind of whiskeys?
Well, Ann got me a really great whiskey, a Marlot.
Like
Marlotch, like single malt.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. We had the, And then, we had a bunch of different ones. Monkey head. I don't know. There's some great funny name whiskeys that we are drinking and enjoying.
Yeah. Cool. And then, and really quick, you'll be happy to know that I'm in a fantasy league this year. Fantasy.
Oh,
football.
No.
Yeah. They talked me into it again. I said, a few years ago, I'm like, never again. And then they, of course, they're like, we need one more guy. I'm like, all right, fine. So it's a Yahoo one. And my team name?
Uh-huh.
Quarantine.
Quarantine. Oh, nice. Yeah, nice.
Quarantine.
So I have two football teams. And my one football team is called Football Team after my Washington football team. And then the other one is called Rocket Queens. Because I heard that song. I heard we were driving across the Midwest. And driving across Kansas and Rocket Queen from Guns N' Roses came on. I was like, this is a great song. And it has that middle section where it's kind of like, sounds like porn audio.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is why it's not played on the radio typically. Yeah. It's because it's all this like moaning and stuff.
Right,
in the
right. That's so funny.
So I thought, I was like, I do like that song though. If it didn't have that porn audio in the middle, I think it'd be it'd be a top 10 hit.
You'd be like, hey, Bryce.
So do you like your team? Did you win your first week or what's going on?
I lost by I think like 4 points or something.
Are you PPR, half PPR, standard? What are you?
I don't even know what that means.
Do you get a point for reception for a guy catching the ball?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
I just check. I'm like, oh, I'm winning. Oh, I'm losing. Oh, I'm winning now. I'm losing again. Because, you know, they come back and forth.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's $20. It was $20 Annie, and then it's 25 cents a trade, or like if you drop a guy. So every transaction is a quarter.
Okay.
So that's how we're doing it.
You got after the show, send me a picture of your team.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I have Prescott. Cool. For quarterback, Dax, yeah. I have McCaffrey. Uh-huh. I got the number one pick, so I picked him.
Oh, wow. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. I got Nick Chubb from Cleveland.
Yeah, he did, had a good night last night.
Yeah, he did. He got me like 26, 27 points or something.
All right, cool.
So, all right, man. Enough football talk.
Football
Let's talk. Dune.
All right.
So here's the cool thing, though. And maybe not everybody would think so, but my wife, I asked her because I remember there was like a year span. You know, we go to bed, we read and stuff. And there was a year span where she was just reading Dune every night. I said, how many books did you read? She said, I don't know, 7, 8, 10. And she's like, yeah, you know, they started getting a little bit weird towards the end. like, towards what the end. What else does he have to write about? He wrote 10 books or more, you know, of the main series. And then he goes into like all the awkward stuff, you know. And she's like, yeah, I just got tired of it after a while.
Isn't it all awkward? Isn't it all weird? It's like the weird fat guy with the little sockets of crazy blood coming out of him.
Yeah. Oh, and that was the other thing she said, too. She said, yeah, every Christmas, me and my cousin Chris, we would watch Dune.
Uh-huh.
I said, the one with Sting? She said, yeah. I'm like, that movie was so boring. She's like, oh, yeah, we loved it. You know, I'm just like, okay. She's like a huge Dune fan, I come to find out.
I know. It was very funny. I think early on when we were going across to Frank and Barbara's, like, Barbara has, like, so many books, you know, they have a huge library over there.
Right.
And they have the whole Dune section. Like, they still have it in their
Oh, that's
house.
Where Clarissa got the books from. She brought, like,
that's what I'm saying.
She boxed them up, brought them home, read them all, and then she, you know, brings them back or whatever, you know. But, but yeah, so, okay. It's 2020. Let's talk modern. Yeah.
Right.
Or present day. What's your opinion? What do you think of the trailer? What do you think the movie's going to be like?
So it looks like it's a faithful representation of a remake of the original movie.
Right.
And the movie, you know, like, it to me, it's weird. I didn't like it when it came out, the Sting one. You said it's boring. I agree with you. I think I've fallen asleep through that movie 2-3 times trying to watch it.
You reading my notes?
But, you know, it was great. I watched this trailer and I was excited to see it, you know, and it felt much more sci-fi than I remember the parts that I had watched prior.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know whether the technology has caught up to what they wanted to do when Kyle MacLachlan was, you know, dancing around and like fighting his sergeant or whatever. But to me, the funniest thing was, it was just the stars in it. You have Dax from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
You have Poe Dameron from Star Wars.
You have Khal Drogo.
You have Khal Drogo. You have all. Yeah, no, I was saying Aquaman. You have Aquaman.
Aquaman.
You
know? Okay.
and then you have the waify, you know, Not Without My Son or whatever that Steve Carell movie is, where, and it's like Audrey's biggest heartthrob at the moment is the
Timothy Chalamet, that's what it is, yeah.
And Timothy Chalamet is pulling off this Twin Peaks Kyle MacLachlan remake of that character. So I don't know. I think it was more interesting to me. But somebody did a side-by-side of all the shots from the old movie.
I saw that,
they used,
yeah,
to, it's cut, like, in.
It's like
they cut
spot
a,
on.
The new trailer, and it's spot on.
Right.
And yet the new trailer looks so much better to me. You know, like, I'm willing to watch it.
Yeah, I'm willing to watch it too. I mean, I think it looks like they're going to be true to the story. I mean, I've never read the books, of course, but I have seen the 84 movie with Sting.
Did you stay awake through it? I don't think I've ever seen all of it.
I don't, you know what? I don't remember. Maybe I did fall asleep. Maybe that's why I don't remember. But it looks like the movie's good. I didn't even look at the time of it, like how long the movie is, like minutes-wise or whatever.
Oh, it's got to be 4 hours long. It's got to be over hitting 3 hours, I'm sure.
Oh, that's what I mean. It's going to be long. I think there's going to be, like, the action thrilling scenes are going to be amazing, and there's going to be lots and lots of slow in between.
Right.
So if you can withstand the lots and lots of slow in between and get yourself to the next, like, bridge that gap to the next action scenes, you might stay awake. But those slow, like, walk through the desert kind of scenes, that's where it's just like, oh, get there already, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, I'm so thirsty too.
Yeah. They used to do that in movie theaters so you could go do concessions at intermission, you know? That's why they would do that, make these desert kind of movies. When I was 12 years old, I went to the Uptown Theater, D.C. It's a big, you know, it's a landmark. And we went to a midnight showing of Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, man. Like the original one? So,
the original Lawrence of Arabia, Peter O'Toole. Wow. Right? And I was 12 years old, and it's midnight when they start the movie, you know? So at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're having their first intermission. I wake up, I was drooling on a stranger next to me. I wake up as a little boy, like, sorry, I was drooling on you. And I was like, I gotta go. I told my uncle, I was like, we have to get out. I can't do this. But he's like, oh, tough it out, tough it out. And I was like, well, then sit me between two people I know. So at least I'm drooling on people I know. So.
And we'll put in the shot for shot because they even have it on IMDb. It's on Instagram. It's like all over the place. Oh, yeah,
yeah. It's all over.
Holy cow, did you fill that glass?
I thought I was going to finish it, and then I was like, "Oh, I have very bad spatial awareness."
What is it? Is it 32 ounce can?
Yeah, no, I think it's bigger than that, right? I don't know what's a typical crowler size.
I don't know. It's huge, though.
It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to watching it. I'll definitely give it the old college try. If I don't make it through, I don't know. It depends on. You know, or if it is like a three and a half hour movie, it just seems like it's going to be so long. If it is that long, it might be like a two-parter. Stop halfway through, go to bed, finish it up the second night or something.
Well, I mean, and then where are we going to watch it, right? We're going to be watching this at home still, right? It feels streaming.
You know, and, you know, I mean, I don't know what to think. I was reading some stuff in the past, you know, about... when I say in the past, like a month ago or something, about like theaters and all the death of COVID-19 is not just human death. You know what I mean? It's like
companies and
companies, businesses, business models.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think people are just so used to staying at home and used to streaming at home and used to just doing that, you know, and I don't know. And people now have fat bank accounts because they're not going anywhere doing anything. You know what I mean? It's like, I think people are just like, you know, whatever, I'll stay here and I'll just watch some Dune, you know? So we'll see, but it feels like a blockbuster movie. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's huge. It's going to be like highly produced, obviously, Warner Brothers and everything, but it feels like it's a streamer though. Or is maybe that we're just used to that?
I think we're used to it. You have a huge screen, you know, in your house. We have the projector that we have, you know. So it's like we could see a 100-inch projection or whatever of it. So I think there's many ways to see it on the big screen, on the personal big screen, you know. So
our friends Amy and Brian and their kids, they did what you guys did. They got a projector with the big with the big 100-whatever-inch screen.
Yeah.
And we watched some, I don't know, it was like a fake Lego movie there.
Oh, cool.
So there's like this Lego product.
There's like bootleg Lego movies?
No. It was a real movie.
Oh, okay.
But there's like this Lego toy that's not Lego. It's like an off brand of Lego.
Oh, like Mega Bloks or something.
No. If you said it, I should probably just look it up. I don't even know. I don't know what the movie was.
Uh-huh. But the boys liked it.
Oh, it was cute, you know, and there was some fun moments to it and everything. But it's not really Lego, you know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so I mean, yeah, I think people are doing that kind of stuff. Projectors are inexpensive. He got this big screen on a stand that snaps and does all this stuff for like $100, you know, like 100, I think it's 110 inches. He put it outside. We watched it in the backyard. It was awesome. You know, it was bright enough to like see it really well. And overall it was a fun night. So people are doing these kinds of things and it's like home theaters are kind of where people are going now, you know?
Yeah. When we were coming back from New York, Maine, we stopped in New York for a few days to stay with our friends that were from New York. And they have a living room that's kind of like open to the second floor. So it's like a two-story living room. And their projector set up so that it just projects on the wall on their...
Oh, there you go.
In their living room. And I was like, oh, this would be a great, you know, a great night to watch Knives Out. So we saw Knives Out in their living room. And it was like a full movie experience. And I was like... And the kids woke up in the middle of the movie. And I was like, oh, go tuck them in, you know? And I went upstairs and there's a kind of like a bridge area you know, on the second floor where it kind of opens to this living room. And you could watch from the bridge in the same living room. So you could actually have a bunch of people in here on two stories. Balcony. It's a balcony to watch this movie on. So, yeah. So home theaters, I think they're going to – they've definitely resurged, and they will continue dominance through the end of COVID, which will be through, you know, through the end of this year. Who knows how long into 2021.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. So more streaming. The Mandalorian season 2 trailer.
What? So we went from a Dune, which is like a desert Western, you know, legacy. What is it? Not quite Clint Eastwood, but almost like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, it's almost like a dystopic human future thousands of years ahead or whatever. You know what I mean? Like thousands of years into the future, but it's like humans populating parts of the universe or something, where Star Wars, well, it's Star Wars. I mean, it's
right
in a galaxy far, far away.
So we shared this on our little family chat.
Yes.
And we're both very excited about this series, and my son is like, he has the calendar out. He's like, "When's October?"
You know what I mean? Oh, I'll tell you.
It feels like it's coming.
So we watched the trailer, and the boys were like, "We need to watch The Mandalorian." and I'm like, "I don't know if it's appropriate for, like, you know, a 5 and a 7-year-old. So I don't know, man. It's like, and you know, the thing about it is, I mean, when I was that age, and not just Star Wars, I mean, well, Star Wars, but other things too, like Civil War stuff or World War II stuff, all you care about is like watching like explosions and high speed chases or something. You don't even know that there's even a story.
Right.
So they're just like, Stormtrooper. Oh, wow, Mandalorian. Like, they just like looking at this stuff and seeing the phasers and stuff, you know, or the blasters. But lots of legacy Star Wars, I think, for the fans of the more original, traditional Star Wars, lots of like
the canon.
Yeah, the canon. When you look at like the Tusken Raider on the Bantha.
Yeah.
You know, the X-Wings, the Scout Trooper riding the 614 AVA speeder bike. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, all that canon starting to come into it. Now it's like, okay, this is cool, because I think season one had some canon, and I think it does fit in somewhere. I'm not really sure exactly where it fits into the canon, but it does. But the music's different, and you know, the attitude or something of it is different, right?
Right.
But this, I think, is right in the Star Wars wheelhouse. Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for the second season. You know, I think more so than the first season.
I think the balance of what the season two trailer does is, it reminds you of some of the coolest parts of season one. You know, it shows that crazy bird with the weapon that he has on his wrist, where it, you know, it kills like, you know, dozens of stormtroopers at one time. You know?
Sure, yeah.
It shows him launching that, and it shows the kid, which we'll name him properly, you know, learning. You know, he's learned to like,
oh, is that what they call him, the kid?
They call him the kid or the child.
So it's not Baby Yoda anymore.
Baby Yoda is the unofficial. Well, Baby Yoda was unofficial, and the creators and Jon Favreau said, it's not Baby Yoda. You know, like all the people were saying, like, don't stop calling it Baby Yoda. So it's called the kid or the child.
Child Yoda.
So he's learned. No, they don't like Yoda. They don't like the Yoda classification.
No, I got you. That's like saying it's another human is Baby Ted.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Although my children are, you know, basically carbon copies of me.
That's true. At least 50% of them.
Hey, when my daughter can open my son's iPhone because, you know, I put my face on it, then we know something is wrong with the algorithm that is recognizing faces.
That's funny. And they're like, Audrey, you have a beard.
Audrey, you're hitting enough graphical points on Ted's face to open this phone.
That's too funny.
When he can close the shell because he knows shit's going to go down right now.
I love that.
That's He's like, oh, wait, this has happened before. I'm going to close up and be inside here.
So I'll have to change what I was going to call it. I guess I'll have to call it The Child. But I was going to call it Baby Yoda Emergency Encapsulation Button. But I guess it's The Child Emergency Encapsulation Button. And that's after right. that scene, I love the triple entendre.
Oh, which one? Which one? I missed it.
Well, he kicks ass, right?
Uh-huh.
Kills everybody. The triple entendre is, this is the way.
This is the way.
Like, this is the way I have to do it, meaning, like, I have to kick everyone's ass.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way, as if to say, it's the way things must be done. You know, this is our religion, or this is our...
belief. This is our, yeah.
Our beliefs. Yeah, or this is how I get you to where you need to be, sort of a thing. And then this is the way, like, well, there's the door. This is the way.
I've actually morphed it into my tweets and my Instagram posts where somebody was talking about the how much money something makes, or one of the Mandalorians, some what they were spending on it, and I said, well, this is the pay, you know what I mean? This is the pay that you get for doing it, and
little
and
then puns here and there.
This is the sway, you know. I was like, I can go all dad joke all over you with this line.
But no, I thought that was great, though, because, like, this is the way, and it was, like, just three different meanings to the one the thing, way. You know? So, but yeah, overall, I mean, 100% guaranteed we're watching. It comes out...
End of October,
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming you're going to watch it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we're going to be in there. Guaranteed watch. I just want to... So, a couple of people have talked about the soundstage. And I've heard it on a couple of other podcasts, and I know they're not film podcasts and not movie podcasts, but some people are calling the soundstage in Manhattan Beach that they use for this the void. But it is the soundstage is called the volume, just to correct other people. I know we make mistakes all the time, but just so people know, the void is not what the soundstage is called. The soundstage is called the volume, and it is a computer-generated soundstage, which is so much better than green screen.
Right, and it's run off of, like, video game graphics cards or something, right? Yeah.
Game engines. Yeah. Yeah, it's part of the reason NVIDIA is such a big company now, because it can buy other companies because it runs these game engines, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's massive.
So, yeah, so it's going to be a great season, and we'll look forward to more of The Child and Mando going kicking ass all over the galaxy.
Yeah, I can't wait. All right, so I'm not going to say what we're watching, but what we've watched. I want to give you a rundown of a few things. I'm not going to get into a lot of stuff, but I'll give you a rundown, and then we can just touch on a few things, and then I want to talk about what we're currently watching.
Right.
But yeah, so we finished Devs.
Okay.
And I think our last recording that night or the following night, whatever it was, is when we watched the last episode. So we've gone this whole time not watched. So I almost forget what happened. It's been so long. However, I do appreciate, like, where it went and the free will versus determinism.
Right.
And looking at, like, there's nothing you could do to stop what happens. And, you know, and that was kind of like the crashing of the cube. And also, like, his wife and the daughter.
Yeah.
And the whole thing. It's free will versus determinism, right? Like, things are just set and you can't change it.
But what do you think about, like, the drive that comes from despair of that magnitude? You know what I mean? It's almost like I can't fathom it. And yet it happens to people all the time, right? Like, it's...
And people who have far fewer means than... I don't remember the character name, but
right.
What's
Ron Swanson? Just call him Ron Swanson. Yeah, Ron Swanson.
Yeah, far fewer character or far fewer means than Ron Swanson. I mean, he must have made all that money like at Parks and Rec. You know what I'm saying? But But no, overall, though, I mean, I don't want to stay on it too long. It was good. Some of it was a little bit slow in the making, and it took a while to get there. And then you'd have some exciting parts, and then you'd have like the crazy like hitman bodyguard dude, and
right,
you know. But then at the same time, I don't know. It had the ebbs and flows, and it was a good story. But overall, yeah, I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
You loved it.
So we covered that in episode 122.
Yeah.
And shockingly good. It was surprisingly good. I didn't expect it to be what it was.
Yeah.
It was, I thought it was really, really good.
I tried to hook Anne with the fact that it has Pierce Brosnan in it.
Right.
Because she's a huge Pierce Brosnan fan. But the ridiculousness
of... My handsome father.
Yeah. The ridiculousness of Will Ferrell, just like, it drives her crazy and she just cannot get into it. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, you don't like his style of humor. So we can't even watch. We couldn't even finish it. Like, and then I never went back to it. But I'll give it another try.
Well, and Rachel McAdams, I mean, her voice is awesome. And, you know, the thing about Will Ferrell, though, like, you know, he's Will Ferrell, right?
Right, exactly.
But it's not like you're watching, I don't know, any of his other... It's not like you're watching, like, Saturday Night Live bits where he's banging on a cowbell. You know? Like,
although that is a great bit.
Is a great bit, right. But, I mean, it was shockingly good. I was so pleasantly surprised. I didn't expect it to be that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we watched that off Lego movie brand, whatever, Lego movie, not Lego movie, Lego movie thing where the kid gets sucked into the toy, and I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever. It was okay. We watched that at our friend's house. It was entertainment for the boys, and they really enjoyed it. But what's been blowing my mind is The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu.
Oh, you just started The Handmaid's Tale from the beginning.
Yeah, there's three seasons out.
Uh-huh.
We are halfway through the third season. So we have so we finished season one and two, and we're about halfway into the third. So maybe, I think it's like, I want to say 13 episodes. So maybe we're like on episode five or six or something like that.
Okay.
Oh, it is a mind F. You know, have you seen it?
I've seen the first season.
So you're familiar.
So I'm familiar with it, and I loved it. I loved the first season. It's definitely my kind of movie, kind of TV show. But yeah, you know, when you on the family chat told Anne that she needs to watch this, I'm like, nope, not Anne's cup of tea.
Oh, it's not?
Anne cannot handle the kind of violence.
The rape scenes?
There.
Yeah. No, and I think it's like... Sometimes you watch things and they're like thought experiments.
Right.
You know, like what if, or how did it get here? Okay. Are there that many sympathizers of that cause that could actually
tip the scales of
mount a coup?
Yeah.
To the point where like even our military is can't handle it or something, or maybe half of it's the military, whatever, who, I don't know how it got to that, but. But then you think about it, I mean, like, it's so scary when you think about, like, I'm probably going to offend some people, I'm sure, but it's scary when you think about the Trump administration, and now he wants to do, like, this national, what did I hear this week? It's like a national patriotic education course or something.
Oh, God.
And I'm just like... Yeah, didn't they do that in Germany called the Hitler Youth?
Well, I mean, today Ruth Bader Ginsburg died.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, and what are we're 7 weeks out from the election.
Ugh.
And what when Merrick Garland was trying to be...
Dude, that could be generational.
It is a generation. They're going to get a 20-year-old to be put on the Supreme Court, you know what I mean? It's going to be crazy.
You're the youngest kid to ever pass the bar. You're in.
You're in, as long as you just do what we tell you to do for the next 50 years.
Oh, God. I mean, I know. It's so... Wasn't she in her 90s or something?
Yeah, she was, you know, she was pumping iron. She was doing the stuff. But pancreatic cancer, man, it is...
Is that what got her?
Yeah, it is a devil that no one can turn away from. So, yeah.
Man, that's what got her, though. But, yeah, I mean, anyway, I need to go down the political route.
Yeah, no, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. You watch something like Handmaid's Tale, and you're like, how did that society get to that point? And yet, you know, all the road signs are there. Like, you can easily slip off out of the democracy that we're in now. You know, democracies by their nature are fragile because they're built on the will of mass of people. You know what I mean? So if the will is of the mass of people is manipulated, then all bets are off on what the future holds.
Well, that's why they call them populists.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it's this tyrannical government and this dystopic future and everything. And I mean, I'll tell you though, great soundtrack. I like how throughout there's snippets of information that comes across that tells you what's going on in the world. So I don't want to give, if you get it back into it, but there's like a scene where she finds a radio and she hits the radio, and then it's like, instead of Radio Free Europe, it's like Radio Free America kind of a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then they're talking about like, it's like a news thing and,
yeah,
you know, China and India are supporting the resistance in Alaska and right. blah, blah, you know what I mean?
It's kind of like a different take on Man in High Castle, right? Like
that's exactly what I thought we were watching it. Yeah. Yes, it is a Man in the High Castle, but it's kind of like, instead of after World War II and the Nazis get the bomb and blow up DC, it's more like some radical group throws a coup on the US and takes over, and they're just brutal and ruthless and like kill anybody.
Right.
Oh, God. But I think the other thing that I thought too was, you know, you're watching it, and then me and Clarissa would decompress at the end of an episode or something.
Right.
And we would talk about it, and it's kind of like, well, how could this happen? Or just the way they treat women and, you know, and so on. And it's like everyone's equal, but some people are more equal than others.
Right.
And even among the commanders and so on, like, they're all doing their crazy sexual fantasies with their handmaids or whatever, and they're all doing it, but once it's found out, then they start, like, lopping off arms and stuff.
Right.
And you could tell, like, they're looking around like, yeah, but dudes, we're doing this shit too. Like, I know we're not saying we are, but we are, like...
Right. The hypocrisy is ripe.
Or duplicity or whatever, you know?
Yeah, right.
But what got me sad to think, though, is throughout history and currently in places around the world, there are governments that treat women and other minorities, too, and so on, exactly this bad.
Right.
Or worse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are, and some of them, like, we're in bed with for oil or whatever it might be, but it's just, it's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these tyrannical dictatorships of the way just they oppress women or oppress the gay population or whatever it might be.
Right.
You know, it's unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, I highly recommend it.
Are you guys reading the book?
No, I want to though, when this is over.
Yeah. You guys should totally read the book. I mean, one of my coworkers, he loves the series. But he said the book, he's reread the book a couple of times, and every time he reads the book, he feels...
Canadian author.
Yeah. He feels like more connected to the story and more concerned about the...
And then there was a movie, too, in like 90 or something.
Oh, I didn't see that.
90, 91, somewhere around there, there was a movie, The Handmaid's Tale. I think the book came out in like 84.
Yeah, 85, I think.
Or 85, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And it was in response, more or less, to like the Reagan administration. But it could... Serious.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could not be more relevant today. Frighteningly enough.
Yes, which is, you know, the cycles of time and, and, you know, but Bryce and I go on a daily bike ride every morning, and it's his time, it's his personal time with Dad, you know, with me. And he always likes to, you know, wax philosophical. And I think it was this morning or yesterday morning, he said, what, Daddy, why do we have to study history in school? I said, well, Bryce, so you don't repeat it. And he said, oh, so all history is bad? And I said, no, no, not all history is bad, but you have to learn from history so that you don't repeat it. But we're all bound to fall in.
Or you don't repeat the mistakes of it.
The mistakes of it. Sure. And I said, we're all bound to fall into a cycle of like, you know, feeling something in a culture, in a time, and then saying like, ooh, we should do the opposite of that. And then usually we swing too far in the other direction. And then we're like, ooh, we should do the opposite of that. And then we swing back, you know what I mean? So there's a pendulum right. kind of atmosphere to it. And that's why when you say something like the Reagan administration, and now it's coming back with a vengeance with the Trump administration or whatever. And it's almost like, you know, it's the swing of the pendulum of history.
And I think it's funny too, though. It's like when you think about nationalism and teaching nationalism to like children or something, like right. I made the comment, the Hitler youth, we call that the Hitler youth, you know? But the funny thing is, it's like when it's someone else's nationalism, it's this evil fascist state or a communist state or something Soviet or something Nazi or, you know, but when it's your own nationalism, you're like, oh no, I'm just a patriot.
Exactly.
It's like, well, so were they.
Right, right, right.
Right. Exactly. They were their own. They were patriots of their own cause too, you know? And it's like, we have to be cautious of that stuff, regardless of whose nationalism it is. So I don't know.
It's sad.
It's just, I don't, how do you convince people of that stuff? But anyway, no, like I said, just to wrap it up with that, Handmaid's Tale is awesome. I was reading, it was put on hiatus during COVID. They're back to filming and they're going to be coming out with season 4. It got delayed because of all the COVID. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's back on track, going to be finished up. And yeah, I'm looking forward to season 4. You know, we're not even done with season 3 quite yet, but it's around the corner for us to be done. And then season 4 is coming up. So it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I love the fact that production is back in LA. I have a friend who has some property and he rents it out for filming a lot. And I was like, I saw like COVID testing in his parking lot. And I was like, oh man, what's this COVID? Can I get my COVID test here? And he goes, oh no, no, that's the production's COVID testing. Like the whole set they're filming in the, you know, in the community that's next to his place. So he's got his parking lot rented out just for COVID testing. So everybody on the crew comes in for their daily COVID test. And they get tested and then they get the rapid results and stuff. So,
wow.
You know, we have production ramping up again in LA and, it is with a vengeance that people are being overly cautious and kissing mannequins and stuff. Oh,
jeez. Yeah. They're CGIing
social distance, you know, yeah. CGIing the social distance out of the picture, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. All right, man. So that was a brief rundown of a few things we watched. I think some of the highlights. What are some things you guys been watching?
So I think after you replayed one of the episodes where Anne was over enunciating her speech about the boule, about the bread.
Yes.
We were like, oh, that sounds a lot like Moira on Schitt's Creek. So we should really try to give Schitt's Creek another chance, you know? So while we were away, we didn't have a lot of time to watch a lot of things. But we watched Schitt's Creek. We watched about 3 seasons of that, so we're getting through it.
How many seasons?
I think there's 5 or 6 seasons of it.
Okay.
So we're about halfway through, or a little more than halfway.
If I can hold you up right there for a second, hold that thought. I wanted to bring this up too. I really hope season 4 is the finale, or I don't know, final season of Handmaid's Tale, because I don't want it just to go on and on and on, you know, like let the next girl escape, let her go to the new house,
right.
Let her, you know, at some point, like wrap up the story and she gets out. And I got to thinking the reason it's the Handmaid's Tale and she's telling it from like kind of a third person perspective is she does get out and it's her manuscript or memoirs about her time
right.
as a handmaid in Gilead. So I hope season four, it's over. And I was thinking, like, there should be some, like, rule unwritten or something. You can't go into production until, like, part of going into production is saying, here's my end game.
Right.
You know, yeah, the show's going to be highly successful. That doesn't mean we need to have 14 seasons of it and then just drag it out as a moneymaker. No, we're going to do 5, tell the story, get out.
Right.
And this way, the audience going in knows, like, okay, it's finite. I'm not led astray every episode that goes nowhere.
I will say, since you brought that up, I can't say what the show is, but we went to a marketing presentation before a show was shot, and it got greenlit for the 3 seasons, you know, from before it was even shot, and it was animation. And the creators of the show said that the animators of the film that this is based on said it had to fit between this part of where the movie ended and this part of where the special was. So they had the
The Star Wars Christmas special?
That was well before my time, my friend. No. Right. So it was great because they had this roadmap and they had this show, they call them a show Bible. You know, they had a show Bible of what was going to happen and the character arcs that were going to happen to all the main characters throughout it. And of course, there was some, you know, they hadn't written everything, but they had a roadmap that was clean and clear, and it was delineated among three seasons. They knew that they had 3 seasons.
I love that.
And they knew that they had to wrap it up by the end of those 3 seasons. And it is the perfect run of something. And it was the perfect way to show it. And and it was so funny. As those seasons came out, my kids loved this show. And I knew where it was going. And every season they had like a big cliffhanger and they had the next plot point. But, you know, a year before production and a marketing meeting that was an hour and 15 minutes long, we got the whole rundown of all 3 seasons. So we knew what was going to happen through all these 3 seasons. So as I'm watching with my kids, I was like, oh yeah, nothing was shocking me at the time. But I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that we had learned that was going to happen here. So it was amazing that they followed it and they do that. And that's part of the reason that I was wondering if you read the book, because, you know, you would think that Handmaid's Tale would have to follow the book. And then as it gets further away from the book, then it gets more and more diluted.
But a Game of Thrones did that.
Yeah, but I mean that's Walking Dead. You know what I mean? Like Dead is still going on. And somebody said,
"I know
this is its last season." I was like, "It ended like 5 years ago to me." So I don't even care.
Yeah, I was looking something up and I clicked on and it said like Walking Dead season what? I'm like, that show's still on? Like, I was shocked it was still going. I'm like, what crazy group did they encounter this time?
You know? Right.
Anyway, get back to what you were saying then. So
back to Schitt's Creek. Schitt's Creek is phenomenal. Eugene Levy's great. It's written by his son, which is kind of like amazing that his son is as comedic. And it has this beautiful dry humor of this, you know, it's basically just an affluent, you know, Kardashian-esque family that has to be forced to live in this small town. And I don't know, it in the end of this one of the recent episodes we watched, you know, they have a dinner party. They have a dinner in a restaurant with their friends, their current friends, who's the mayor, and the old friends who kind of left them high and dry. And it was really kind of a touching thing. So they're using this fame and this wealth to kind of shine a light on humanity. And it's just some of the things are very, very beautifully done, you know? So it is a great thing from somebody who is a child of a famous and wealthy actor, you know, like he's Eugene Levy's, you know, American Pie. He's like everything. He's been the dad in everything. He's Second City. He's a huge comedic actor. All the Christopher Guest movies. Not huge fame, but definitely well off. And for him to get in touch with the humanity of the everyman was just phenomenal. And then to do it in such a way that it's such a fish out of water story. So I don't know. It's such so well done.
And is Dan Levy and Sarah Levy, who are also cast members, are they his son and daughter?
Definitely his son.
Okay.
I don't know about Sarah Levy. I don't know what role she plays.
Twala Sands?
Oh, okay, cool.
Twyla Sands?
I didn't know that. Okay, cool. Yeah, so that's cool. Yes.
Yeah. And what are you watching it on?
We're watching it on Netflix.
Netflix, okay.
But it's a Canadian production, so it's like on Pop TV. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's a Canadian show?
It's a Canadian show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wait, Eugene Levy's Canadian?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, Second City, Chicago, right? Like,
well, that's not Canada.
Might as well be. It's so far north, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to insult you. I apologize.
No, I'm not worried about it.
First, I do have family. First show back, and I'm already.
So, okay. So, Schitt's Creek, I'll check it out.
Uh huh.
I think maybe when we're done with Handmaid's Tale or something, it sounds like it's fun.
Or even like, you know, you do Handmaid's Tale, and then if you need like a respite, something lighter.
Oh, to, right, right.
To because light it like up.
You're tired of rape scenes.
Right. Like the quietest rape scenes, like because
right.
They're just
the ceremony.
Yeah, it's
the,
like,
yeah, the ceremony. So what else?
So we also watched Dark Crystal. We watched a little of the Dark Crystal series.
Wait, the new one? Or the
new one. Yeah, the new series.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. All right.
Yeah. So Netflix did a series on it, and the kids are kind of into it. I guess Bryce is really kind of into it.
Okay.
Which is weird, because it's kind of dark for Bryce. Like, that's not his cup of tea, but Anne and you know, Bryce like that, so they're watching that together.
It is a Dark Crystal.
And that's really like about the haves and have nots. I did not realize how politically motivated that movie was. And the show is definitely
really,
you know, it's all about, you know, the oppressive race of Muppets over the other Muppets.
I'd have to see it again. I don't remember.
And then to wrap it up, we haven't watched a lot because we're, you know, traveling so much. I guess the kids are still watching stuff. I don't even know what Bryce is watching. Bryce is watching a ton of YouTube. He watches like so many videos on like guys making. What did I watched something with him the other day that was intriguing. It was so. It wrapped me up. A guy 3D printed a drone that he modified with a Nerf gun on top of the drone. So he was like, he basically had a drone that would go around shooting Nerf darts at people in his office.
So he made a family-friendly U.S. military
weaponized drone
in Iraq. Yeah, I gotcha.
But he 3D printed it on a 3D printer. So it was, you know, you could Google the plans for it off of your computer.
Man, I can't tell you how many times I go down YouTube rabbit holes though, man. One thing leads to another. I'm watching Russian dash cam videos.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, they're intriguing, right? There's so much volume of footage content in dash cam videos.
Oh. Yeah, horses flying through the air, and
have you seen the Teslas in China where they avoid collisions from like that people would have totally just walked into, you know?
No, I should.
Oh, you should see that. Check that out if you're gonna. Dash cam videos with Teslas proving that automated driving is better than humans.
Wow!
And then the last thing we watched, or we're watching right now, is the next in Tales of Arcadia. It's called Wizards, Tales of Arcadia. And the cool thing is the kids are watching this with their grandmother. So their grandmother, we started watching it in Maryland when we were with her. And now she's in Jamaica for a funeral. And the kids are still watching it with her remotely. So we watch on Netflix, Netflix Party. Have you heard of Netflix Party?
No, I don't know what that is.
So Netflix Party is like a Chrome add-on, a Chrome extension that you could, you know, log into. And then if you have an account and your other end has an account, you can watch it together and you can be in a chat together and you can kind of chat about it while you watch stuff.
Pangolin?
That's right. That's right. It's one of the facets of Pangolin. So
yeah. Yeah.
No, only one.
That's cool though. And it's, Well, I guess it, like being on the East Coast, being on the West Coast, you don't want to keep grandma up too late. So you got to start like early. I guess that's the one downside of it. But no, that's cool though.
Well, we're trying to get Bryce to finish his homework. That's what we're like, how many more Khan Academy math quizzes do you have to do tonight? You know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Well, hey, I'm glad you guys made it to the East Coast, Northern New England,
yeah,
and back,
yeah,
and all in one piece and safe, and everything was good.
Yes.
And you guys had a great trip, a great 6 weeks, and saw a bunch of friends. And
now we're back in the swing, and we're back into our normal, awesome beer nights on Friday night.
Yeah, yeah. No, this was fun. I'm glad we got back talking and stuff. And, you know, I sometimes would watch things or I'd see a trailer. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to remember this one. And then like 5 weeks later, I'm like, I don't know what I watched. You know, but yeah,
exactly.
We're back at it. So this is cool. I'm excited.
Awesome. Have a great night.
All right, Ted. You too, man. We'll catch you.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.